Today we're reading the last part of John. We've been doing 3 weeks on this. I think when it's 3 weeks, it becomes a series. So I'm going to read 15 through 19 and verse 22. When the disciples had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of God, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter, he felt hurt because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And then, just not 22, but a bit of 19, after Jesus had talked some more, he said to Peter, "Follow me." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Erwin and I have been doing confirmation twice as long as some of the confirmants have been alive. And it takes lots of different styles. And when I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I had many months with the young people, and they had to do things for me. Okay, young people, look at me. Confirmands, I'm talking about you. When I did confirmation before, the young people would have to memorize those questions you're going to read in the bulletin. They had to memorize them. They had to keep a spiritual journal, which I checked on. And they had to memorize some scripture. And I let them choose the scripture they memorized. What I did say to them is, you can't pick the shortest verse in the Bible, which is Jesus wept, because I'm smarter. I said, you can't memorize that one. And so they would choose. I'd give them a sheet, and some of them chose like the 23rd Psalm and verses that were important to them. The reason I wanted them to memorize scripture, because I had read stories about men and women of faith that had been in horrendous situations, like imprisonment or situations where people were being killed. And they interviewed them and said, "How did you keep going?" And they said, "I had memorized some faith, some scripture, and I was able to repeat it to myself." So I wanted the young people to have some scripture memorized, even if it was short. And one kid, sometimes I love kids, but sometimes I like some of them a little bit more, and they're usually the ones that are the bother. And this was a kid in the day who is now grown up and has children, but he drove me crazy, and I loved him. And I said, "What scripture will," I don't remember the conversation word for word, but I'm sure it went something like this. I said, "What are you going to memorize?" And he said, "Oh, 21 John." I said, "All of it?" And he goes, "No, just 15 through 29. I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yes." I said, "Okay." So we meet in front of the elders, and they're reading their scripture, and he gets up, and I say what he's going to read, and he says, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep, follow me," and sat down. Okay, do you get it? Three verses. And I said, "Real?" And he goes, "Yes." I did a paraphrase, and he decided, this was the most important part. "Do you love me?" He goes, Jesus asked three times. He wanted Peter and the disciples to get it. "Do you love me?" And then he said, "Feed my sheep." And he said, "That's because they're supposed to do stuff." And so I'm getting a little smart. I said, "And why the follow me?" And he says, "Because if you forget everything else, you just follow Jesus." And I said, "Thank you." And he sat down with that big old smile. And that's, I think, is a really good scripture to preach on for confirmand. So when I was preaching and planned this, I had planned something else. But I did this scripture because Erwin, your teacher, couldn't be here next week. And he said, "We're going to do it this week." And I said, "Okay." So I changed to this scripture because I think it's a really good one for confirmands, but really for us. And if you've been here 3 weeks, maybe like four people out here in the choir, you know that I've been preaching on John 21 for 3 weeks, which is a what? It's called a series. Yes, so impressive. And the first one is about Doubting Thomas, we call him. He's the disciple who said, I'm not going to believe Jesus is risen until I actually get to see and touch his wounds. And the others had seen him, and Jesus comes back and says, go ahead, touch my wounds. And he says, no, I know it's you. And I love that passage because it says, I'm going to have to see for myself. I need to make it right in my heart, and then I'm going to believe. He had questions. So I like Thomas because he had questions, and Jesus didn't go, oh, shame on you. You did not memorize the correct scripture. He said, the questions are fine, and I still love you. And then last week we preached on the disciples go out and they start fishing. Peter has the idea. He goes, let's go fishing. Get on with life. And they're not doing really well, and a voice comes from them and says, why don't you try to put the nets on the other side of the boat? And they do it, and their nets get full, and Peter says, oh, it's Jesus. And he just, you know, do you remember what he does? He jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. And the others have to bring the boat up and bring the fish in. It's a giant haul. And then Jesus cooks them breakfast, and do you know, what does Peter have to do? He has to haul the nets in and count them. But he, they say, is Jesus' beloved disciple. They just have this really close relationship, he and Peter. And so we join this passage today, and Jesus decides just to talk to Peter. It's a conversation. They've had the grilled fish, and after breakfast, it's early dawn light, and Jesus asks Peter 3 times, do you love me? And I know when a question is asked 3 times, it's something important. I can remember when I was a kid, my mother would say, Maggie, did you clean your room? And I'd say, yes. And then she'd ask again, did you clean your room? And I'd say, yes. And then I knew the 3rd time was coming, so I'd clean my room ahead of time. And then when she said, did you clean your room? I could answer, yes. My mother knew sometimes for me to pay attention, for me to really get it, she had to ask a question a couple times. The question that Jesus asks is a lot more important than did you clean your room. He said, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And this is when I love scripture and when it drives me crazy, because it doesn't say what the these are he's talking about. Maybe Jesus is saying, do you love me more than the boats? Do you love me more than the fish that you're going to sell for the money? Do you love me more than the disciples? I think what he's kind of saying is, do you love me where I'm your first? Do you love me enough to put me first? Do you love me so I'm the center of attention? I mean, he is really trying to get Peter's attention. This is a question. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And what I love about Peter, do you remember about him? Everyone know about Peter? God bless him, he's just thick sometimes. Jesus, it's the Last Supper, and Jesus tells him he's going to die, and Peter says, I will die with you. And Jesus said to him, really? You're going to deny me 3 times before I'm killed. He goes, oh, no, I won't. And you know, he does. Denies Jesus 3 times. Which I think every time probably just felt like it killed him a little more inside. And yet, Jesus still loves him. He was really a failure in some ways. He was enthusiastic, but not good in the follow-through. Let me swim to shore. Like, yeah. But do you love me? And so we have this one that some ways failed, but Jesus kept loving. And so that's, I think, really important here. And he says to him, will you love me? And how do you love me? You feed my sheep. You tend my sheep. You feed my sheep. See, this is love that has action. See, Jesus talked in metaphor. Who are the sheep? The people, the disciples, them. You have to care for people. Feed my sheep. Care for them. Make sure they have enough. Make sure they know about my love. And he is saying, my love means action. It's a task. It's a doing. And then he says, if you love me, follow me. And it's like, really, Jesus, which one? Am I feeding the sheep and tending and leading them, or am I the sheep and following? Yes. He is saying both. You're one of my sheep. I'm in charge, but you have to be in charge a bit too. You can't just sit in the pew and say, everything will happen. That doesn't really happen. All sheep, no shepherds, were in trouble. He says, follow me. And I like follow me, but I wish it had some instructions. Like, Maggie, if you would just do this. The church, those elders you met with today, they're talking about how can the church thrive and grow. And maybe at one time they thought I knew how to do this. Oh, Maggie will tell us. Well, now they figured out, not so much. Maggie has to learn and try, and we're doing this together. How we're going to lead means everyone has to lead, and we will figure it out. I kind of used to wish God would send me, back in the day, we didn't have texts. I kind of hoped that Jesus would send me messages so I'd know. And when I was trying to decide if I was going to be a pastor or not, I'd say, I want God to send me a sign. And it used to drive my pastor crazy. So finally he got some stationery made, and it said, from the desk of God, and it had a lightning bolt on it. And he wrote to me, Maggie, go to seminary, and he signed it, God. I said, okay. Because sometimes I think we fill out this life plan and just wait for God to say, what a brilliant idea. But I don't find that God kind of works that way. God says, use your heart and your mind and try to figure out what is the most faithful to be just and loving and peaceful and kind in this world. So that's kind of what we are here to be about. It's what the confirmation people are about. It's what the whole church is. And what I notice here is Jesus does not ask Peter theological questions. Would you please repeat the Ten Commandments in the order in Hebrew? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, can you please write a perfect faith statement and recite it in front of the elders? Do you remember, confirmands? It's me again. I'm talking to you. Do you remember where I said you had to write those statements of faith and then read them? Today, because I read this scripture, I changed it because I decided it wasn't about having something right. It was about your willingness to say, I'm going to follow. Without me pushing certain things, if you were willing to say, I'm going to follow Jesus, Lord and Savior, that was enough. So I laid down my rules a little bit. Fairly flexible, at least a little bit, and I'm glad I did it. Because what I know is the confirmands and you have to be the leaders and you have to be the followers. The first thing I want you to know is that you are loved. No question. And that God already knows you. There's no question of that. God knows who you are. You are not passing a test. And you get to be our leaders too. I mean, I'm going to tell you some stories about kids that have been leaders for me. I mean, I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again about a little boy named David. And they used to go at my last church, we had church fellowship dinners. And the mother was a working mother, and she was always too tired to bring real homemade food. So she would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and buy chicken. Now, the truth was, the kids liked that better than the homemade stuff. So she'd bring the chicken, and she'd be all kind of tired and grumpy. You know how that happens to your parents. They try to do too much. She just wants to put the chicken on the table, eat the fellowship meal, be okay. And she's going to sit by people they want. And little David sees a man sitting by himself. His name was Tommy. I've talked about it. He was about 6'2", and he was tall. And what he loved more than anything was trains. In this day, we'd probably say that Tommy may have been on the Asperger scale somehow, because he held a job on a train all his life, but his social skills were not good. He was, honestly, was kind of scary, because he just couldn't talk well. And so when he'd come to the meals, one, he'd eat too much food, you know, on that silent how you have to share stuff. He'd take like 4 pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken because it's the best. And no one would sit next to him. And David said to his mother, we have to sit over there with that man. And his mother said, why, honey? There's your friends over here. And he said, no, we have to sit there. And so David and his mother went and sat with Tommy. And David said hello to him, and Tommy said, rrr, rrr. And David said, I brought the chicken, and then he was able to say thank you. And his mother asked him later, why did we sit there? And little David said, because he is lonely, and Jesus said, we have to be nice to the lonely. This boy was 5 years old. See, he got it. And I thought, oh, see, he was my teacher. One of you was a youth deacon years ago, and we had one of the men in the church named Tobias. Do you remember Tobias? He was a character. Tobias would come to church in a tux, and he bought it. He hadn't been to church in years. He came in a tux because he decided God deserves someone wearing a tux. And for a while, he'd carry a big kind of Jerusalem plate that said peace on it because he thought that's what we were about. Tobias also decided in his last years when he was getting very frail that he was going to walk in the gay pride parade. He probably shouldn't have because he couldn't walk very much, but he dressed up in his tux and kind of walked in the gay parade. Do you know this, Erwin? And he stumbled and he couldn't walk anymore. He stopped the whole parade. And the gay pride parade stopped for him and waited for him to get up and walk again. Now here's the interesting thing. The gay pride parade now has a motor vehicle for older men that can't walk it anymore. Because they were thinking fun and bikes and we're all doing this stuff, and they forgot they had come from the roots of those that were older. So now there's like a mechanical cable car that picks up people that just can't walk it. I love it. That was him. Tobias died, and we heard about it from the neighbors. He lived in an SRO with single rate occupancy. And we realized in this process, we didn't really know his real name. We could not find family for him. We couldn't get his body from the morgue because we weren't his family. We had to trust him to God. And one of the deacons, who was a young person, said, I think we need to have a plaque for him in the columbarium. And the deacon said, well, you know, it cost a lot of money. It's like $2,000. The youth deacon brought up again, I think we need to do this. He's one of ours. Even if he didn't have money, he has to be remembered. And in my mind, he said it like four more meetings, but I'm not really sure. Until the deacon said, okay. And they spent some of their money, hard to do, and bought a plaque where Tobias's name is down there and remembered. So none of our people are lost or forgotten. One of our young did that. And so when John Calvin Fritz died last summer, we put his name up there. See, that's where young people can lead us. So we got to listen, and you guys got to, like, be active. Yeah. Wake up again. You're leaders. You're one of us. You're now full-fledged members, which means we're going to think you're going to serve. We'd like you to give a little money when we're doing something. That gift card stuff, how about you buy a gift card or two? How about you all help the immigrants? And that it, you have to learn how to shop. So what did Jesus said we have to learn how to do? Peter, do you love me? What do? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Let's look at, so we got the lesson. Do you love me? And simply follow me. May it be so. Amen.